You may be seated.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you, team, for leading us this morning. Anybody else's heart just heavy this week? Man, it's just like, man, there's just a lot going on. And, man, it's just, and it's, as we said before, it's not just the election. There's just a lot of brokenness. And church, man, Jesus has rescued us. Let's take that rescue word to the world. Amen, church. Guys, we are in our third week of our vision-focused series. We are looking at a few different things. We're looking at who Jesus is and who he has called us to be as a church and what it means to be a Jesus follower. Our vision statement at our church is we exist. This helps us stay focused. We exist to connect people to Jesus, to grow together and live authentically for him. And our prayer and our aim throughout this entire series is that we would remain devoted, right? Continually devoted. Acts chapter 2 says the church was continually devoted. And so we want to remain devoted first and foremost to Jesus, right? And to the life and mission that he has laid out for us. The first week, we looked at that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22 to see who Jesus is and what it means to truly follow him. Last week, we looked at connecting people to Jesus and sharing the gospel. We know, church, like it's not hidden. Like, we know that Jesus commands us and commissions us to be his witnesses, to go and tell others about him and his gospel, to go and tell the world and tell all those around us that there is a God, there is a Savior that loves them, that came and gave his life for them, right? And so, and he came so that they could have eternal life and have forgiveness and a personal relationship with him. This week, we look at our next part of our statement, connecting people to Jesus and now growing together. When God saves us, he brings us into his family. He gives us brothers and sisters in Christ. He brings us into the local church for us right here at Authentic Life Church. And here's the thing, God's design, this is the way that he designed it, is that we are to grow in our walk with him, but that we're also to do that together. This week, our focus will be more on growing and following Jesus, right? Or as we follow Jesus. And next week, we're going to dive deeper into the togetherness, doing that together, and God's design for us as a family and how we are better together. So I'm excited about that. But in our lives, think about this, in our lives before Jesus, the Bible tells us of our spiritual condition. Here's who we are without Christ. We are separated from God. We are eternally and spiritually dead. We are lost. We are chained to and guilty of our sin. But Jesus, right? Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus, God the Son, right? He humbled himself. He became fully man to live the perfect life that we could not live, to suffer and die in our place on the cross. But he didn't stay dead, right? He rose again. I love reading the Bible with my kiddos. And last night was the night that I was reading about Jesus' resurrection as we read through the Bible and just watching them just get excited, knowing that he was once dead, but he rose again. Man, that should get us excited. But he came to do that. Jesus took your sin and mine, and he paid the price that we owed. Mark chapter 10:45 says that Jesus came to give his life in place of many as a ransom. He paid that, and he died on the cross so that we could be made new. He doesn't just make us better. He doesn't just clean us up a little bit, right? We're that messy. He needs to say, all right, well, let's start over, right? I'm going to make you new. And I'm going to forgive you. And guess what? You get to spend eternity with me. Jesus, church, calls us to repent, to have a change, a 180, and believe in him. He calls us to turn from the world and from us and from our sin and confess Jesus, not just as Savior, but also as Lord of our life. He calls us to believe in him for salvation. And the Bible tells us that when we do that, the Bible says that we are saved, right? We are eternally rescued. We're his. And I share all of that. I need you guys to catch this. I share all of that because for many, that's where it stops. You trust in Jesus. You call on Him to save you. Maybe listen to a little Christian music every now and then to perk you up a little bit, right? You go to church periodically. Get your get out of hell free card. But that's where it ends. I need you to hear me. That's not the life Jesus calls us to. It's not. He calls us to be with Him. He calls us to walk with Him. He calls us to abide in Him. And actually, in that text, He says, abide in Me, because apart from Me, you can do nothing, right? He calls us to follow Him and not remain as babies or infants in our faith. And so we looked at a few verses last week out of Matthew chapter 28. I want us to look at that again. It'll be up on the screen. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But here's what Jesus says to His followers. He says to us, He's died, He's rose again, right? He's about to go be with the Father. And He says this, He says, church, disciples, followers of Me, go therefore and make, what's that word? Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Church, He says, go and make disciples. That's an important word. It doesn't just mean convert. The definition of a disciple, here's the definition of the disciple. It is someone who adheres to the teaching of another as a follower or a learner. It refers to someone who takes up the ways of someone else. So think about that when applied to Jesus and Christianity. A disciple, Jesus says, go and make disciples. A disciple to Jesus is someone who is with Him, learns from Him to live like Him. Someone who, because of God's grace, conforms his or her ways to the ways of Jesus. Here's the thing. Jesus' plan for us as we follow Him is to go and tell others, as we're doing life with Jesus, we're also to go and tell others about Him, to make disciples, baptize them, teach them. Why? So that they too mature in their faith. So that they grow in their walk with Jesus. Jesus doesn't want us to say just as converts. He doesn't want us just to be someone that got a get-out-of-hell card. He saved us and calls us to walk with Him as His disciple, to grow and mature in our walk with Jesus. And that brings us to where we are today. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 3. If you're online today, normally what we do as a church is we walk verse by verse through a book of the Bible and study that together, but we're currently in our vision focus series. And so today we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, where Paul is talking about his own walk with Jesus. And we're going to see his growth and his pursuit to be more and more like Jesus. And before we read that passage, I want to give us a little bit of background on Paul and who he is. That's going to help us as we read this together. Here's the thing about Paul. Has anybody ever known anybody that was just kind of lived one way and then Jesus saved them and their life was radically changed? I know a few of those stories, right? And so this is one of those stories, right? Paul was radically saved by Jesus. Here's who he was. He was a top religious leader that had rejected Jesus. But he didn't just stop at rejecting Jesus. He persecuted. He sought out and persecuted and arrested and even oversaw the killing of followers of Jesus. But then, Jesus, right? He personally met Jesus and he gave his life to Christ, and his life would never be the same. His life from that moment on, he devoted his entire life to follow and grow in his walk with Christ, but also to help others do the same. And God used Paul in many ways. He planted churches. Man, I look at him like, hey guys, we planted a church, amen? But that dude planted a whole bunch of them, right? He was a missionary. He was a leader to leaders. He was a pastor to pastors. He was a big dog in the Christian world. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, all right, I'm the big dog. So imitate me as I also imitate Christ. He doesn't say imitate me as I imitate the world or as I imitate some YouTube influencer or whatever that means. He says imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And so let's think about that as we read this passage. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Here's what God's word teaches us. Paul says this, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect." He says, "But I make every effort to take hold of it, because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." Church, let's pray. Father, as we just gather together, we're online, we're here. God, we pray, Lord, that we would be submissive to you today, that we would have a humble heart that says, God, be in charge of what I hear, how I hear it, and how it transforms me. God, we know that you don't just save us and leave us, you transform us. But God, we have a role in that. We have a responsibility to pursue you, and that's what we're talking about today. And so God, wherever we are, teach us how to take that next step to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was about to tell you you could be seated, but I never told you to stand in the first place, so you can be seated. Makes me feel better. In many of your Bibles, if you look at your Bibles, right above verse 12, it might have a heading that says something like this, reaching forward or pressing toward the goal. Anybody got that on there, right? Pressing toward the goal. And here's the idea. As we live our lives as Christians, we press forward toward our aim, toward our ultimate goal, toward our pursuit. And our pursuit, our pressing forward, isn't to have a lot of money. It isn't to have a nice car. It isn't to have a college degree. It isn't to have a big, beautiful house. It isn't even to have the perfect family. Now, those are nice. I want to have a lot of those things. Are you with me, church? Right? But our ultimate pursuit as followers of Jesus is to be more like him. Amen. Let's go home. All right? That's it. To be like him. It's to pursue Jesus and Christ's likeness. Our aim, according to the Bible, is to grow and mature so that our thoughts, our desires, our words, our actions begin to look more and more like his. We want to love like him, right? We want to speak like him. We want to think like him. We want to have our actions reflect his. And guys, that doesn't just happen overnight. Now, I've known a few people, maybe two people, that came to know Christ and God transformed them like that. My grandfather happened to be one of those. But for most people, and there was still growing later. Are you with me, church? Like, he didn't make him perfect. Grandpa didn't get perfect overnight. Are you with me, guys? But I mean, there was like a radical change in his life. But this is something that happens over time. I think about our kiddos. Think about your kiddos, your grandkids, just kids in general, right? We spend a lot of time with them, right? We're with them. From the time they're born, in one way or another, we are teaching and modeling and exampling and helping them as they grow and mature as little people to become big people, right? For us, we want to see them grow to be godly people, right? So I tell my kids, hey man, I want you to follow Jesus and I want you to be a good godly man, right? That's what I tell my boys. But it takes time. It takes investment. It takes intentionality. As Christians, when we come to know Christ, you are an infant in your faith. You're a baby, and that's okay, because guess what? God's got you, right? He puts the Holy Spirit within you when you get saved, but he puts others around you as well. He gives you the church family. He gives you the Word of God to help us grow and mature to be more and more like him. That's called spiritual growth. So when you hear our vision statement, connecting people to Jesus, growing together, that's what we're talking about. And Paul, in this passage here, is telling us about this, his growth in his own life. Now, earlier, we pointed out all the accomplishments that Paul had spiritually. We're going to have a little reality check here, okay? Here's Paul. God used him to write many books in the New Testament. The book we're reading out of right now, the book that we just walked through for almost a year, Ephesians. God used him to write that. God used him to train pastors. Right? You look at 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, those things are called pastoral epistles. We know that he was with a lot of other people that he taught and trained. He used him to plant churches and be a missionary. So those are the things he did. Now here's something else Paul did. Paul willingly suffered tremendously for telling others about Jesus. He was imprisoned multiple times for it. In church, he ultimately gave his life because he lived for Christ and told other people about him. And so here's the thing. If there is someone who we would say, man, they are a big bad boy in the Christian walk. They are a mature Christian. They've reached that mark. If there was anybody that we've said is fully matured as a follower of Jesus, I think Paul might qualify to be that guy. But he's not. Notice what Paul says. He says it in three different times. Verse 12, he says, not that I have already reached the goal. I have not reached the goal. He says, or am already perfect. So he hasn't reached it yet. He isn't perfect. Verse 13, I do not consider myself to having taken hold of it. So here's what Paul telling us. Man, you might look at me as a big bad Christian, right? Like I'm awesome, like I'm grown, I'm the big deal, but I'm still pursuing Jesus. I still have growing to do. I'm still aiming to be more like him. So what does that mean for you and me? By the way, here's the great thing about today's message. We all need this. I need it. You guys need it. It doesn't matter if you're a spiritual leader, if you're a pastor, if you're a teacher. It doesn't matter if you, you know, run Kids Life or First Impressions or the setup team. It doesn't matter if you're a missionary or you planted churches, right? Or if you just got saved yesterday. We all need this. But here's what this means for us. Knowing that Paul says three times, I'm not there yet, here's what that means for you and me. We're not there yet. There is no one listening today that is done with the race of pursuing Jesus. There is no one here today listening or in here with us today that is done growing in their walk with Jesus. There is no one alive today that is done pursuing Jesus and the life that he's called them to live. We are all still growing. And so on your notes, I've got four takeaways today that I want us to look at as we walk through these verses together, focusing on our spiritual growth. Four things for us to know as we follow and grow and we pursue Jesus. I think these four things will help us know how to grow. The first one is this. To grow and pursue Jesus, we must have an honest assessment of our walk. Have an honest assessment of your walk. When I use the word walk, if you're listening today and you're not familiar with that, it basically focuses on your life as a Christian. Right? So have an honest view, an accurate estimate of your walk with Jesus as you grow as a Jesus follower. So we're going to describe that a little bit. When Paul is writing this passage, he's using athletic language. That's what he's doing. In fact, he's actually using specific language that is the language of a runner, even more specific, a sprinter. Right? Any track runners in here back in the day? All right. Maybe long or short distance, right? Okay. So you guys are gonna, you'll be able to apply this, but we've all watched the Olympics at some point or another, right? Paul, he's thinking about his life and his walk with Jesus, and he's using a race, a running race, to illustrate that. And we're going to see more of that. Derek, don't get mad at me. I'm going to move this back just a little bit because I think it's right in front of that camera there. So I'm just going to move that back for a second. Am I forgiven? Am I okay? All right, man. I don't even know what my... Oh, here we go. But Paul is running this race. And as he's running, he looks at where he is. And he says, Paul, it's time to be honest with yourself. He says, I see the goal. I see Jesus. I see the finish line. But I haven't reached it yet. I'm not perfect. I have not taken hold of it yet. And Paul wants to make sure he gets it, and he wants to make sure we get it. So he says it three times in three different ways. In church, we must do the same thing. Because here's what we do as Christians. When we're around, as Christians, when we're around other Christians, or maybe we're just around others, right, that aren't Christians, we pretend. Well, we should say amen to that, because we do. Like, we pretend. Or sometimes, we just don't take the time to take a good, honest look at our lives. And we kind of present ourselves in a way to those, in one way to those around us. Like, hey, look at me. Like, man, I'm just kind of this big Christian, man, right? Are you with me, church? Like, we do that. We present ourselves in a way that we're fully grown, but Jesus knows. I might not know. Jay might not know, but Jesus knows. He knows where we are in our race. He knows where he wants to take us. He knows he wants us to be more like him. And so to grow in our walk with Jesus, to be more like him, church, let's just be honest. Be honest. I've been in races before. I used to run the 100, the 200, the 400, right? Make me run much past that, I might pass out. But, you know, I'm going to run those races. And sometimes you just kind of got to get this glimpse of, man, where am I at in this race? Do I need to pick it up a little bit, right? Where am I at? Be honest. And that will lead us to this. Next thing in your notes is this. You've got to know we have not yet arrived. I'm sorry if you're here today or you're listening online and saying, man, I'm there. You're not. I'm not. You're not. No one has arrived yet. Paul is acknowledging, I see Jesus. I see the life of Jesus. And I know that I haven't been there yet, or I haven't got there yet, Paul's saying. And I'm going to be honest with you. That helps us be honest. Because if Paul hasn't got it, I don't know about you guys, but I haven't been led by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible, write any of that. Are you with me, church? By the way, if anybody adds to it, it's not true, by the way, okay? Kind of helps out that pride a little bit. We don't need to be so prideful. Paul's saying, hey, I've done all these things and I'm not there yet. So he's looking at his own life and he knows this. You and I, in our time with Jesus and in the Word, we must be honest and we've got to know we're not there yet. Amen? All right, if we're good, we can move on. Are we good? All right, let's move on. And that leads us to the second thing. Paul continues in verse 13. He says, brothers and sisters, my family, right? I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting what's behind, reaching forward to what is ahead. He says, I'm not there yet. I know where I'm going, and I'm reaching forward to what is ahead. He also said this in verse 12. Just look back real quick. He says, I haven't reached the goal. I'm not perfect. Listen, but I make every effort to take hold of it. Because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. There's his motivation. Notice what Paul says. I make every effort to take hold of it. Why? Because I have been taken hold of by Jesus. Here's what he's saying, church. Here's the complexity of what he's saying. He says this. He says, I was a sinner. Jesus came for me. He died for me. Right? He rose again for me. He made all of this possible. He's called me. Jesus rescued me and saved me. I am his. Jesus took a hold of me. To take hold of is a phrase in the Greek that means to make one's own possession. Paul is saying, I am pursuing Jesus because I'm his. I belong to him. Church, for you and me to grow in our walk with Christ, to be more like him, be honest, know we're not there yet, and know that we belong to Jesus. It kind of changes things a little bit, doesn't it? When we start looking at things like that, you're like, man, I belong to me. No, I belong to Jesus. We were talking about that yesterday in our men's deal, right? Man, when we know that Jesus isn't just our Savior, but he's our Lord, we belong to him. If you're saved, if Jesus is your Lord, then you belong to Jesus. And guys, we can just tell by the world right now, that's a really good thing. And because Paul belongs to Jesus, because Jesus has taken hold of him and saved him and called him, he says in verse 12, because of that, I make every effort to take hold of it. He says in verse 13, he's reaching forward to what is ahead. Look at those words for a minute. To make every effort is an athletic phrase. It means, so if you weren't an athlete before, you are now. Amen? There you go. You're an athlete. It's an athletic phrase that means to press on. In fact, some of your translations might say press on. It's a word that describes a sprinter. Aggressively and energetically pressing on toward the goal. You ever watch a runner in a race that just kind of lollygags, right? Not very many, right? Man, they are pursuing that with everything they have. Meaning this, Paul is saying as he runs this race to grow and become more like Jesus, he is pursuing this with all his might. You know what he's doing? He's flexing every spiritual muscle he has to reach that goal. He's giving it his all, and the same should be true for us. I remember one time I was running an open 200, right? You start down in your blocks, right? They shoot the gun off, and you start running. And I came out of that curve, and I just noticed the guy next to me. I was like, oh, this dude is, like, gaining on me, right? I'm not supposed to be looking around. We'll get to that here in a second, right? But I did, and I noticed that, and I had to give it everything I had if I was going to win that race. Are you with me, church? That's the idea. It should be the same thing for us. So we should chase after Jesus with eagerness and passion. You should chase after him with eagerness and passion. Because we are his, that should drive us to be more like him. Because of who he is. Remember from 2 weeks ago, he's our Savior. He's our rescuer. He's the promise. When he is fully God, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And that should cause us, church, I'm going to say this, and I need you to hear this. Because of who Jesus is, it should cause us to not casually and comfortably follow Jesus. Let's have a moment of honesty in America right now. Too many Christians could define their lives as casual and comfortable Christians. It's not what God's calling us to do. Being his, knowing who he is and what he did, it should cause us to chase after him with eagerness and passion. If you're a follower of Jesus, God's design for you is that you would be more and more like Jesus. We see in Romans 8:29 that we are made, that we were made to be conformed into the image of Jesus. God does not save you and leave you to be. If God has saved you and you've left to be, that's because you are not pursuing Jesus. He transforms those that he saves. My dad used to say, if you is what you was, then you ain't. Amen? That's easy. We saw in our study through Ephesians in chapter 3 that when we are saved, God tells us, man, we have the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. It's not just a mist. It's not just a thought. It's not just some kind of wind or power. It is God that's within us. And he comes to reside within us. And from that point on, God the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. If you're saved today, God the Holy Spirit is within you, doing a work within you. But you have a personal responsibility to pursue Jesus, like Paul is talking about, to intentionally pursue Jesus and to grow. And sometimes we just like, man, okay, I'll go to church every now and then. I'm gonna flick Caleb on. Oh, they've got an encouraging word today. I might grow. No, intentionally pursue him. And because of who Jesus is, and because of what he has done for you, and because you are his, you should pursue him and his life with eagerness and passion. Before we move on, I want to see one more thing Paul says in verse 13. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what's ahead. He says, forgetting what is behind. What does that mean? The word forgetting obviously means to forget. Usually husbands have that spiritual gift. Amen? No amens. All right. Wise men. Very good. So it obviously means to forget, but also to neglect or no longer care for. That's what that Greek word means, to forget, to neglect, or no longer care for. So let's put this back into athletic terms. If you're a runner, especially a sprinter, your coach is going to make it very clear to you, do not lose focus. Don't look around and don't turn back. And I'll tell you what, listen to your coach, because if not, you're going to run a full 800, man. I'm just telling you, that's just what they're going to do. You're going to make you run hills. Don't turn around. And Paul, I believe, Paul is talking about two things here. His sin and his accomplishments, both in his past. Paul is saying this, I can't turn back and focus on the past sins or the past accomplishments. So we're going to look at both of those. I can't focus on my past sins. You know, we often look at Paul as one of the best Christians, right? We've just talked about that. Like he's a super stud, right, in Christianity. It's in the Greek somewhere, super stud. Like that's his title, right? But Paul calls himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Do you know what he calls himself? The chief of sinners. You're looking at it, you're like, really? So you're like the biggest, baddest Christian and you're the chief of sinners? Like, so we're somewhere in the middle, right? But here's why. Because of what he did before he met Jesus. Let me tell you what Paul did before he met Jesus. He pursued the law and religion instead of Christ. He rejected Jesus as Christ. He persecuted and killed those that followed Christ. So Paul is saying, I need to forget what lies behind. I can't let that weigh me down. I also cannot be drawn back into it. One of the tricks of the enemies is to bring us back into the sin and who we were before Christ. We need to be reminded, church. Think about that for a second. Let that sit. I know it just said don't look back, but I'm going to think about that. Think about your sin and who you were before Christ. Jesus personally rescued you from that. He set you free from that. He made you new and forgave you. Praise God. Amen. Right? Each of us here today has sin in our past, and guess what? You're going to have sin in your future. Right? And one of the things that Satan likes to do is remind us of that sin or what we did in the past, what we did and who we were before we knew Jesus. And Paul is saying, forget that. Put it in its proper place, right? And also, Paul, I believe, is speaking of his past accomplishments. So his sin, but now his accomplishments. We do this a lot as Christians, church, right? Paul could have said, you know what? Have you seen my checklist? Have you seen my resume? I'm good. I have run so much of this race and probably better than anyone else in here. So it's time for me to take my hat and hang it on those accomplishments. Let some of the young dudes do it. Anybody ever run hurdles in here? Maybe even during gym class? If you're a sprinter that is running hurdles, you can't just in the middle of your race just stop and focus on how well you just jumped over that last hurdle. Right? We laugh, but that's what Paul's saying. Right? You keep going. You're ready for the next one. And with your eyes on the finish line, right? Not on the past. Also, if you're running, right? Think about sin and or whatever. If you're running and you fall over that first hurdle, you don't stop and think about it. You just keep going. You keep going. You keep going. So sin and accomplishments. John MacArthur says it this way. To be distracted by the past debilitates. I know that word. I'm pretty smart, I think. Debilitates one's effort in the past. Let me say it this way. Being distracted by the past. I should have just said it this way. John MacArthur's apparently smarter than me, right? Well, anyways. Being distracted by the past makes us weaker and keeps us from moving forward. So we should chase after Jesus with eagerness and passion, placing the past in its rightful place. That sin in your life, Jesus took that to the cross and defeated it. If you're saved, he took that for you. Praise God. Amen, church. And those past accomplishments, don't let those things that God has already done in your life give you a sinful pride and keep you from moving forward. Keep pressing forward with all your spiritual might. And Paul reiterates that in verse 14. He says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Paul says three times, I know what my goal is. I haven't reached it yet. My goal is to follow Jesus, to become more and more like Jesus. I see the goal. I'm pursuing the goal, but I'm not there yet. But because I am his, I pursue him with eagerness and passion, not comfortably and casually, not only when it feels right, not only when it's easy, but as a sprinter chases that finish line, I'm going to give it my all. His goal is Christ-likeness. His goal is to be like Jesus in this life. He isn't waiting. He's pursuing it now. Church, don't wait to pursue Jesus to become more like him. Make that your goal now. And then he talks about his prize. His prize, our prize, is eternity. His prize, our prize, is being made perfect in heaven. His prize, our prize, ultimately, church, is being with Jesus. And I've been thinking about that a lot this week. There's a lot going on in the world, and the song that's been on my mind is, what a friend we have in Jesus. Are you guys with me, church, man? All my sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. He's our goal. He's our prize. Paul says the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. One day, God will call you home. Or he's going to return again to rapture us home. But that is the prize, to be with Jesus in heaven, perfect for eternity. We pursue a lot of things in this life for many different reasons. We pursue a paycheck, a feeling, a high, a title, a degree. But Paul is saying, God is saying, the ultimate prize is Jesus and being with him for eternity. So in this life, pursue him. Aim to be like him until we are with him. A couple more things. I know this wasn't our text today, but I want us to look ahead a few verses to verse 17. Paul says, he's still talking about pursuing Jesus. He's still talking about growing in his walk with Jesus. And he says this, he says, join me, or join in imitating me, brothers and sisters. And, excuse me, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. So as we pursue Jesus, we should look to Christ-like examples of others. Amen? We already saw Paul say it in 1 Corinthians, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And here he's saying, he says, as I grow, as I pursue Jesus, imitate me. Right? So we know we got Paul. We got to imitate him. We get that. And then he says, pay careful attention. Like, see the lives of others who live according to the example. In other words, have people in your life that are following Jesus, that are intentionally pursuing Jesus and growing. Too often we get this junk in our head that it's just a personal thing and it's not to anybody else's business. No, man, I need Charles and Charles needs me, right? I need Josh and Josh needs me. We need others in our life to help us pursue Jesus. Let others speak into your life. Learn from them. Follow their example. Find someone that knows Jesus, loves Jesus, pursuing Jesus, and is maturing in Jesus, and follow them. Who's in your life? Seek them out. You know what? People would say, man, I just don't know them. That God hasn't provided. Go find them. Go find them. Ask them to pour into you. I remember my pastor, when I was the associate in Kansas City, associate pastor, and I was having a meeting with my senior pastor, and he was in tears, church. He was in tears. 53 years old. I remember. His name's Paul. 53 years. And I said, what's going on with you? He just said, man, I can't find anybody to pour into me. And it broke his heart. Like, that motivated me. I'm sitting there thinking, dude, you are a spiritual giant. And you still want someone to pour into you? And he's like, yeah. What are you talking about? He goes, I haven't attained it yet. Right? That's the motivation we should have. Right? So seek him out. Ask God to provide that person for you. Go to life group. Be here on Sundays. Be in the Word yourself. Have a person or two that's pouring into you. Before we close, one thing I want to bring our attention to, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Listen to what the author says. Let us lay aside every encumbrance, meaning every burden, every weight, and the sin which so easily entangles us. We're to lay aside every burden, every weight, every sin that entangles us. Think about a race, right? Lay it aside, get it out of the way, and let us run with what? Let us run with endurance, the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus loves you. He is Lord, and he calls you to pursue him and grow in our walk with him. And we do that by being honest, knowing we aren't there yet. We've got more work to do. We do that by knowing that we belong to Jesus. And because we belong to Jesus, we pursue him. We chase after him with eagerness and passion. And we have others in our life that live out that example for us, right? And we let them pour into us. And church, this world wants our attention. Amen? This world wants our focus. It wants our aim to be all over the place. Wherever the media wants it, it's where they want it. No. As followers of Jesus, our eyes should be fixed on the one that came for us and saved us. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, church. That's the last one in notes. Keep our eyes on Jesus, pursuing him each day. Father, we love you. And God, we pray, God, that we would take this seriously. Have that honest moment where we look and say, God, where am I and where do you want me to be? What are you doing in me? What is entangling me? Where are my eyes at, God? What am I missing that will help me grow? Am I spending time with you? Am I in the Word of God? Am I at church? Am I in life group? Am I around other people that can pour into me? Are my eyes on you? God, grow us and help us intentionally pursue Jesus. And God, if there's someone here today that says, I don't know Jesus, I don't have that hope, we pray, Lord, today would be the day that you save them. In Jesus' name, with your eyes still closed. Church, what is God speaking to you individually? Not your spouse, not your kids, not your parents. What is God telling you today in the area of spiritual growth? Here's the thing, church. We've got a lot of resources to help people grow. Individual studies, got some books. I or others in our church would love to spend time with you. Ladies, find a mature lady that can pour into you. Men, find a mature man that can pour into you. Age doesn't matter. Where are they at in their walk with Jesus? And if you're here today, you're online, and you say, man, I don't know Jesus. I hear you talking about the mess we are in this world and how we're aiming at all these other things. Pastor, I'm pursuing money. I'm pursuing sex. I'm pursuing the media. I'm pursuing job. I'm pursuing this, that, and the other thing. But it gives me nowhere. It always brings me back to where I was before. The answer is Jesus. That's the answer. The answer is in nothing this world provides. It's in Jesus. And Jesus says, or Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we believe that he died for our sins and rose again. If we confess Jesus as Lord of our life, we will be saved. And when you're saved, you become part of the family of God. You are with God. You'll be with him for eternity. He wipes away your sins. He makes you new. He calls you his. And if you want to know more about Jesus, or you want to say right now, I want to give my life to Jesus, if you're in here today, slip your hand up. I'm not going to call you out. Look me in my eyes, slip your hand up and say, today's the day. No more waiting. If you're online, hey, I just want to challenge you. Go to our website, authenticlifeaz.com. There's a connection card. Fill that out. It'll come to my email. I'll contact you today. Don't wait. Father God, continue to be at work within us and help us intentionally pursue you. In Jesus' name.